Ryan on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
Let us now go before God in prayer. Shall we pray? God of all grace and mercy, you have made an amazing and beautiful world, diverse and teeming with the bounty and beauty of your artful hand. You have made us mortals in your own image and given us such a marvelous variety of gifts by which to praise and serve you and to serve the common good. Hear our varied expressions of thanksgiving as we look to you for care and guidance to use every skill and art with which you have blessed us for the blessing of humanity. For some, O Lord, it's been quite a week, filled with busyness and exciting activities. For others, it's been a long and lonely week. Still others have experienced ongoing troubles and frustrations, sorrows and sadness. Throughout all these conditions and at all times, you are with each one of us, giving us strength, calming our spirits, healing our wounds, celebrating the delights and triumphs. That is why this morning we name on our hearts and by our voices, loved ones who struggle with issues of health, loneliness, sorrow. We name in our hearts and by our voices those who have found great joy. Be with each person, giving strength and courage for all the times ahead. Help each one of us to remember that we can always come to you with our burdens, and you will take them away from us. Hear our prayers, O God, for those whose lives are closely linked with our own, whose names cross our hearts and our lips so often, and whose needs are many. Help us to entrust them to your care as we offer up our own needs and our hearts' desires to you in silence now. As Jesus prayed that all who follow him might be one, Reshape us as your faithful disciples and knit us tightly with all those who profess Christ into his one body. May our unity and our diversity proclaim his name to all the world as we glorify you together, offering our varied gifts for your use. For we pray in the name and in the spirit the prayer that Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning, we are glad to come together to hear God's word, and so we turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 6 through 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow came down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Thanks be to God for God's good word. Well, I brought with me this morning this box. And, you know, this is just a regular shipping box, just a plain old box. It seems like kind of a simple thing, but it's an amazing little thing, isn't it? I mean, it helps us to organize. It helps us to collect things, to give things away, helps us to carry things from here to there. Can you even imagine, for example, if we were to move and we carried everything by hand rather than packing our boxes up? This is such a helpful little thing. But the box, it's fairly limiting too. The things that are placed in this box can't function. Have you ever had something, whether it's a gift or just an item that belongs to you, that stays in the box? Well, it's pretty useless to you, isn't it? One day, after nearly 9 years of marriage to Garrett, I discovered that we had a food processor. I had never used it. I didn't know we had it. Where had this thing been all along? It had been in a box somewhere where I hadn't seen it. That thing's a miracle worker, and I didn't know it was there because it was in a box not being used. When something is placed in a box, it's useless. It has no function. You know what else happens when something is in a box? We often forget about it. How often have you been cleaning up or organizing a closet and you come across something in a box and you think, where on earth did this come from? Out of sight, out of mind, it's more than just a quip. It's pretty true. We don't use whatever is in the box. We don't appreciate it. We may even resent that box for taking up precious space in our home. We completely overlook the value and the treasure of what's inside of it. And how many times have you bought something and or found something in your home and realized you had already bought a replacement because you forgot you had it? We spend money and time and care replacing things when we have them, hidden away in boxes, forgotten. When things are placed in boxes, they sit there unused, without attention, without the ability to even provide their designated function. Well, things are not the only things that we place in boxes. We have a tendency to put relationships in boxes too. Perhaps we've been hurt by someone, and so we place them and our relationship with them in a box. We have a box of protection so that we can feel safe in not allowing them to hurt us again. We put up walls of boundary around ourselves, and we're happy as long as they stay in their box, out of sight. We also usually place our relationships in boxes of expectation. We have the friend box, or the romantic partner box, or the colleague or coworker box. And once you've placed someone in a particular box, it can be hard to think about moving them to a different box. We have to decide whether it's worth the risk to the friendship to try to move them to a new type of relationship, whether breaking the relationship out of the box is a risk we're willing to take. Well, among the many parts of life that we place in boxes, we often have a tendency to put God in a box. We create a set of expectations of who and what God is, what God can do, what God does do. And that set of expectations, it boxes God in. These expectations become limits on who we allow God to be for us. Now, of course, God continues to be God and act in real ways in the world, but we simply limit the allowance of God's power in our lives. We set parameters, almost like box sides, on what God's allowed to do, what God can do, because we're only looking for God to behave in our understanding of how God behaves. Now, if you think about it, we are limited in understanding who God is because of our human ability to understand and perceive of all things holy. And because of this, there's so much outside of our human understanding. When I was in seminary, one of my favorite books was written by a theologian named Clark Williamson. And one of the most important points that sticks in my mind is that he described God as categorically other than us. God is completely unique, outside of anything that we could even imagine. Our minds are so limited into what we can think of. And I think that this is where some people get challenged in their faith. Many of us want black and white, crystal clear answers. Now me, I'm okay not always understanding the things of God. And even if I have biblical answers to a question, it doesn't mean that my mind can really understand the answer. And some of us just aren't satisfied with this. Many of us, our minds think, I need to understand everything. I need to organize it into little, tidy storage drawers, because when something fits in our understanding of the world, it makes sense to us. We get it, and we want to get it. We want to get everything. But let's look at this box. Let's say that this is my hypothetical understanding of who God is. And let's just say, for the sake of this little illustration,
Let's say that this side of the box says that God is old. Let's say that this side of the box says that God is a man. Let's say that this side says that God has long, flowing white hair and a long beard. And let's say that this side says that God is a white man. Let's say that this side says that God listens to us. And this side says that God forgives us. What if I believed that God gives us what we ask for? But let's say, just for the sake of argument, that this side said God holds on to our sins. And even though we're forgiven, he keeps a running list. So I have created this box, and I only let God exist within the confines of my parameters that I've got made up. So I'm going to take this huge, vast, enormous God and stuff him into this box. I'm going to cram and push. And when a little piece of creativity pops out, I stick it back in to make sure it fits. And I keep shoving until I get it all into the box. But God is other than us, Williamson wrote, categorically unique, a being that cannot be confined by human constraints. God is God and will continue to act as omnipotently and omnisciently as possible. It's just a matter of what role we allow God to play. When God is stuck inside this box that we have created, we don't let God be God. Our humanness gets in the way of allowing God to truly be God. Now, I think one of our first biggest problems is trust. We struggle to trust that God will provide and will provide in our best interest. Trust is believing in the truth of something, believing in the ability and the strength of something. To trust, we have to be willing to give up control over our own lives, which is a very scary thing for many of us to do. We have this feeling that we know what is best. Our ideas, our plans, our dreams are good ones. And perhaps without even realizing it, we think we know the very best, even better than God. Perhaps. We, of course, would never admit that, because admitting that is usually, it's something subconscious that happens. We'd never admit to anyone, let alone ourselves, that we think we know better than God. But often our actions display that this is our thinking. If we have cluttered up our life with so many plans, so many things laid out just as they'll go, if things are so set in our mind and we're determined and focused to accomplish our plans, we have not left room for God to act. There's no room left for God to be God, and we have not placed our trust in God to lead us through the right decisions and through God's right path for our lives. We read in Proverbs 3, verse 5, that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and not to lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, Scripture says, acknowledge God and he will make our paths straight. We so often operate under the mantra of pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps that we don't have the space, we don't leave space to trust and lean on God in hard times. Now, I think another way that we limit God is that we keep God confined to this box of understanding because we're afraid. We're afraid of what God might ask of us, afraid that we might have to make sacrifices. What if God asks us to give up our time, to give up our money? What if God asks us to give up some sin that we've been holding on to? No, not me, I'm sure we're all thinking. I don't have sin I'm attached to. But maybe we find joy in something that God would not choose for us. Maybe we find contentment and consistency in the way things have always been. We hold tight to old habits. And what if trusting God means that he leads us to make changes? What if it disrupts the status quo and challenges us to seek God in improving ourselves? We don't like change. We fear change, and we're afraid that if we trust God, he will ask us to change too much, to make sacrifices. And so we keep our fist firmly grasped around control. So we need to relinquish some of that control, loosen that grip. But we cannot make this move relying only on our own power. We need to allow God's power to work in us. We have to know that God really and truly forgives us for our sin, and only then can we be freed of that sin. It's a bit of a cycle, I think. We need God's power to give up the things that we allow to have power over us. And when we give up our power and accept God's, only then can we truly repent. And then we can really allow ourselves to be open to God's power working in our lives. Now, one further way that we limit God is that we don't have high expectations. We are waiting for God to act just as we think God should act. We're looking for signs that God has answered our prayers as the way that we think they should be answered. We're not allowing for the enormous possibilities of what God could do in our lives because we're thinking on a small scale. We're thinking in our tiny human terms. But we need to hope and expect that God will surprise us, will find a solution to the next problem or the next step in our journey that is nothing like what we could have imagined. Because God knows what our best is. God knows what we are truly capable of and what our lives could be. We have, without meaning to, pushed God into a box that doesn't allow us to experience all that God has for us. But it's time to break God out of that box. Can you even imagine what God could do if we took away our parameters, took away our boundaries and our expectations of who God is and what God does, what God should be doing and could be doing? And what if we just allowed God to be God? After all, we just read from Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways my ways," says the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Yes, God's ways are indeed so much higher, so much more, so much greater than our ways. God's plans are so much grander than any plan that we could ever come up with. We must be open, asking that God would shape our thinking and our desires to align with God's will for us. I believe that if we can place our trust in God rather than ourselves, if we can open our minds to allowing God to act unexpectedly while also having faith that he will act in our best interest always, then we can allow God out of the box. We can loosen hands that are gripping so hard to our imagination of what God is. And when we loosen our hands, we can be open to them being filled by the Creator himself. We can open our minds to allow the King of the world to take back over control into God's hands, the hands that hold it all. A God out of the box is a God with unlimited creativity, unlimited power to reign in our lives and to remain the King of our world. Amen.
Thanks so much for worshiping here with us in person and online today. What a strange and odd time this is, and years from now we can look back and say, we made it through. We made it through together, and we were here in worship and online and in our cars in this time, and so we stayed together as one church family. And so we give thanks to God for you making time and space to be here with us today. We hope that worship has filled your spirit and renewed you in your journey of faith. If during these times you felt the presence of Christ moving and alive in your life, and you've never made before a public confession of faith that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you would like to make that confession of faith here today, we invite you to meet us at the Welcome Center after worship today. We'd love to pray with you and to be with you and help you in your own journey of faith. We also extend that same invitation if you'd like to make First Christian Church officially your church home and say that this is the place where you will grow in faith and learn to share God's love. We extend that same invitation to our friends watching online. We hope that you all will shoot us an email or send us a Facebook message so we can help you grow in your own personal faith, that you can be a part officially of our church family here. As we mentioned in the beginning of our worship service, we give thanks to God for our tithes and offerings and for all those in these past 18 weeks who've been giving their offering to help us still live out our vision and mission, even though it looks differently in these days. We mentioned there are offering plates outside our sanctuary, and so you can drop off your offering after worship today. You can also go onto our website and click on the giving button, the little giving tab, and you can give online also today or any time that you would like. There are a few things that we want to remind you as we look forward to leaving worship today. We have figured that our capacity in these social distancing days is about 75 people sitting in the pews. And so we ask that you would make a reservation to come back with us to worship next Sunday morning. You can do it online. You can call the church office, as lots of you all did Monday through Thursday, and we will save a space for you. Even if it isn't your favorite place to sit in the sanctuary, it is still a space to sit inside the sanctuary. We are also, in this time of transition, remembering that it is by God's grace that God has led us through, and it is God's grace moving in your life, in our lives, that we'll keep on moving through, from having only online to online and drive-in, and to now drive-in and online and also in person. We've been moving together, and so the day will come when we will go back to sitting in our usual space and worshiping as we usually do. And so we keep on praying for God to bless us and be with us and for God's healing in these times of transition. We pray for God's grace among ourselves and with each other as we live in these odd and strange times. We're also very thankful for all the people who have worked behind the scenes to make these days possible. There are too many to name, but all the people who, as we've been thinking about things, that we say to ourselves, oh yeah, we shouldn't forget that, and we write it down, and then been passing it off to lots of friends here in our church. There are lots of people who have been working and building up to this day, and so we give thanks to God for all of our friends who've been leading us here. Last little bit, we forgot to mention in our announcements that one of the ways in which we have found that the virus spreads the most is through singing out loud, which is really a bummer. And so if you don't like to sing, today's your lucky day, because we hum together on our first hymn, and we'll hum together now as we hum our last hymn together.
Whose mercy is forever sure, whose truth.